Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. And surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Did you get my email about bringing a cushion today for those plastic seats? Well, the good news is that my sermon today is only 10 minutes. But the thing is, I've got three of them and they follow one after the other. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, we come before you at this time seeking your leading and guidance as our shepherd. We ask you, Lord, to bless our hearing of the word and our doing of it so that we may shine our lights in the world. In your precious name we pray. Amen. It was a significant week that happened to me about 35 years ago. Now, I still remember it because I went to a funeral on a Wednesday and the psalm was Psalm 23. I went to a wedding on the Saturday afternoon of that week and the psalm was Psalm 23. I went to worship on the Sunday morning and there was a baptism and the parents requested Psalm 23. In 1 week it was used in the context of the soberness of death, the joy of marital union and the wonder of new life. It is a psalm that can be used with great effect and has application to any situation of life. Birth, marriage, death, and what we're facing at the moment with the coronavirus. The website Wikipedia summarizes the coronavirus and its effects well. It says, the 2019-20 coronavirus pandemic is an ongoing viral pandemic of coronavirus 2019. It is a novel infectious disease caused by severe acute respiratory syndrome coronavirus. The outbreak was first identified at the Huanan Seafood Wholesale Shop of Wuhan, Hubei, China in December 2019 and recognized as a pandemic by the World Health Organization on the 11th of March 2020. And as of the 19th of March, more than 244,000 cases of COVID-19 have been reported in over 170 countries and territories, resulting in more than 10,000 deaths and 87,000 recoveries. The virus primarily spreads between people in a manner similar to influenza via respiratory droplets that people exhale. For example, when coughing and sneezing. Currently, there is no vaccine or specific antiviral treatment. Efforts consist of symptom alleviation and supportive therapy. Efforts to prevent spreading include travel restrictions, quarantines, curfews, event postponements and cancellation, and facility closures. The pandemic has led to global socio-economic disruption, the postponement or cancellation of sporting and cultural events, as well as widespread fears of supply shortages across various sectors, including pharmaceuticals, electronics, and food. Negative effects include online misinformation and conspiracy theories about the virus, prejudice and racism, and panic buying of various products, such as food items with a long shelf life, toilet paper and water. Some commentators have called the pandemic the biggest global event since World War II. Now, I wondered why it was called the coronavirus was called the novel coronavirus. Was it invented by Mills and Boone? No, indeed. It's called a novel coronavirus because it is new and not been seen before. There's been lots of coronaviruses around the world, but this one is unique. So with this coronavirus being something that is novel, new, and not been seen before, we find ourselves in this situation also that is novel and new and never been seen or experienced by us before. And how have we responded? Well, many Australians have responded sensibly and well, but there have been many others who have participated in panic buying. Listen now, Australians' obsession with buying toilet paper has become the butt of many jokes around the world. But it's not only been toilet paper. You can't buy hand sanitizer or disinfectant spray, and people have been stockpiling meat and groceries at an incredible rate. I checked up with the chemist this last week, asking him about the supply, and he said if people panic buy, they will run out. But if we all get our scripts every 3 weeks or so as usual, there will be enough to last. Glenda and I have a friend in rural Victoria who lives some 6 hours away from Melbourne. And there are people actually busing to and from the 6 hour trip to go to the rural supermarkets and strip the shelves there, such as the panic buying. As the Prime Minister said the other day, on bulk purchasing of supplies, stop hoarding. I can't be more blunt about it, stop it. It's not sensible, it's not helpful, and it has been one of the most disappointing things I have seen in Australian behaviour in response to this crisis. That is not who we are as a people. It is not necessary. It is not something that people should be doing. Stop doing it. It's ridiculous. It's un-Australian, and it must stop. But people are being whipped up into a panic by the media and especially by social media. It's always wise to read and listen to such media with the filter of common sense. It's not good for you to be continually watching and listening to news reports about coronavirus. There is only one thing that can result from it, and that is fear. In a way, this fear that we are seeing here in Australia shows us how far Australia has drifted away from God. But to use our Prime Minister's words, but with a different application, that is not who we are as Christians. In this crisis and in all other crises of life, what informs us is not the media or social media, but the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit, and our faith. There couldn't be a more perfect text that comes to us today as the prescribed psalm for the day than Psalm 23, so that in the midst of our world that is shutting down around us, we know the way to go forward by following the shepherd. And we do so in faith, not in fear. So let's walk through the psalm. We are all familiar with its beginning, "The Lord is my shepherd." But let's turn that around and say, "My shepherd is the Lord." And for the Israelite, this was Yahweh, the God of Israel. Read in such a manner, the psalm comes into sharper relief as a powerful declaration of the speaker's own confidence and trust in Yahweh. It's a response to the implicit question, "Who is your shepherd?" And in contrast to the various other rulers and gods and resources that other people may trust to shepherd them through in dangerous times, the psalmist's trust is in God, and so is ours at this time of coronavirus. God is the one who we see who we trust in to see us through this crisis of this pandemic. It's not the World Health Organization or the Prime Minister or the medical scientists or the hospital system. It is God. And because the psalmist says, "The Lord is my shepherd," or "my shepherd is Yahweh," he can say, "I shall not want." And this response immediately puts us at odds with our culture, and that we are continually conditioned to consume. We are people who always lack something. If people actually lived by this opening to Psalm 23, the economy would actually collapse. To live by this confession of faith in the shepherd would mean ignoring the constant barrage of questions that constant barrage of messages that tell us, well, you're unhappy. You need to buy more stuff. If you buy this, your life will be complete. You just can't be a whole human being unless you own one of these. Psalm 23 resists this consumer mentality. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, means that our needs are not met by having 100 rolls of toilet paper in the bathroom cupboard, by stripping the shelves of grocery items and filling your pantry to overflowing, by having your chest freezer full of meat and frozen vegetables. This is how consumers are responding in the face of coronavirus. It's natural for them to respond this way because that is who they are. They are consumers. But for us Christians, our trust is in the Lord. He is the ultimate resource and resourcer. We can trust in Him to supply our needs. Now, this doesn't mean taking a foolhardy approach. We need to stock our pantries and fridges for 3 to 4 days, as has been advised by the government. But that is all. Stockpiling for 6 months is, as our Prime Minister says, un-Australian, and as this psalm says, un-Christian. If we say and believe and live by the confession, "The Lord is my shepherd," it means a number of things for us. Firstly, if He is our shepherd, He is with us. He is not a shepherd by remote. He's not sitting in front of a computer screen on the other side of the universe, operating there and being God. He is here with us, and He is leading us. No matter what the situation is in life, there is nothing that we go through that He hasn't gone through before us, because He goes on ahead of us. If you walk through unemployment, He goes before you. If you walk through a relationship breakdown, He goes before you. If you walk through coronavirus, He goes before you. If you walk through death, He goes before you. We all know that this is true because of the cross and the resurrection of Jesus, and because of Paul's proclamation, He is the first fruits of the resurrection. He is number one, He is first, and He goes on before us. With what we're going through with coronavirus, when the world is experiencing panic, pandemonium, and pressure, as sheep of the shepherd, we can experience peace. And why is this? Because He is with us and He is leading us. We follow Him into peace. And if we're not experiencing it, guess who's moved? The psalmist says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul." The shepherd gives His sheep rest for their bodies. He makes us lie down in green pastures. In our frantic life, the shepherd desires our rest. The Sabbath was instituted in part to guarantee this. And maybe one of the benefits of the coronavirus is that we will all learn how to slow down as a society. The Hebrew word for green pastures here means fresh shoots. God does not intend to rest his sheep in hospital beds, but gives them lush meadows where they can graze and enjoy soft grass. Today we're so goal-orientated and compulsive that we feel guilty when we rest. But we are to delight in a quiet personal time with our Lord, being in his presence. And when the Lord rests us, there is no guilt, only the divine hand. The shepherd resets the hyperactivity of our lives. And this is good news for us, not only in times of coronavirus, but in pandemic-free times as well. Well, after dealing with rest for our bodies, the shepherd deals with rest for our souls, the inner man or woman. The shepherd leads his sheep to a watering place. And there the sheep can drink plentifully and freely. When you drink water, you are refreshed, especially when the journey has been hard, hot, long and dry. This is what life can do to our souls, especially in times of coronavirus. The Hebrew word for restore means to refresh. So when you are feeling hot and dry and parched spiritually in life and especially in the days ahead, drink of the living water of Jesus Christ in the Word and in prayer by the power of the Holy Spirit and be refreshed. As one commentator puts it, he restores my soul means he gives me my life back. Refreshed in body and soul by God the Shepherd, the sheep continue their journey behind the Shepherd. And the Shepherd will guide us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. This Shepherd that we follow is the Good Shepherd. We can trust him to lead us in the right paths. It's not easy to navigate the various paths of this world. There are many paths that call us to travel on them through this world. The path of health and wealth and happiness, the path of an easy, stress-free life, the path of false religions and New Age spirituality, the path of revenge, hate and violence, the path of fear, panic and selfishness, the path of sexual immorality, lust and pornography. In the midst of all these paths that the world offers, there is only one that is the right path. And it is the one that the Good Shepherd makes for us as he leads us through life, each one of us, and we place our feet in his footsteps. Because that's what being a disciple is all about. It's placing your feet in the footsteps of the Good Shepherd as he goes on ahead of you, leading and guiding you. He will lead your feet in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, meaning he will lead you in right paths because of who he is. He cannot lead you down the wrong paths or what we say down the garden path. He will lead us in the right paths because he is the just one, the righteous one, the holy one, the good one, the one in whom there is no sin. And by following one as perfect as he is, you just can't go wrong. You will be on the right path. You will end up at the right destination in the end because you have followed the right one. And we can trust God in his leading and guiding at this difficult time. Now, the shepherd doesn't protect us from the valley of the shadow of death, but he will lead us through it rightly. Just because we follow God as our good shepherd doesn't mean that we are immune from problems, trials, disease, betrayal, relationship breakdown, and so on, even pandemics. In a world where especially now fear and death are casting their shadow, we need to be reminded that these enemies are eclipsed by the presence of the Lord. The psalmist says, and we can say too, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Even when there are times when it feels as if he is not here with us, our Shepherd Lord is leading us and guiding us through dark experiences and keeping us safe. One of my seminary professors once visited Israel and spent some time with the shepherds of Israel. What he discovered was that in the deep valleys of Israel with the high, craggy, rocky overhangs, there are times through the day when shadow is cast through the valley. And as the shepherds are leading their sheep, what they do is that they take their staff and they tap on the rock as they walk past, as they walk through this valley of the shadow. And the sheep can't actually see their shepherd, but they can hear him because they can hear his staff tapping on the wall and they know he is there. And so his rod and his staff, they comfort them. The psalmist is referring to the shepherd's staff that has a curved piece at one end, which is the staff, which is used for grabbing the sheep around the throat when they wander off the wrong path. And the straight rod is used for whacking the wolves and the dogs and other creatures that might attack his sheep. And so the shepherd's presence and his shepherd's staff and the way that he uses it gives us comfort. He's present with us in our dark and difficult times. He will protect us from ourselves and also from others. And this brings us great comfort, as it did to the people of Israel, when God said to them when he led them out of Egypt to the promised land, my presence will go before you and I will give you rest. Now there's something amazing in this. Listen to what David Roberts says in his commentary, Lectionary Meditation. He says, only then, when forced into stillness, do I begin to realize what the still waters and the death valleys share. God's blessed, utter silence. What an incredible insight. Whether in times of rest and peace, or whether in times of darkness and despair, God is present with us in perfect, unutterable peace. The psalmist then goes on to say about the Good Shepherd, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. The shepherd now becomes a generous host, but he's still providing and protecting as a shepherd does. How surprising it is to find that the shepherd sets a table for his sheep in the presence of their enemies. The wolf is at the door, but he can only look in through the window. He can't get in because the shepherd is feeding his sheep at his table, and so they can eat in peace and in safety. There are many threats around us at the moment, from coronavirus, infection, unemployment, lack of food, even death. But despite our enemies, despite all the enemies of the sheep, and despite all the enemies of King David, the tradition ascribes this psalm to, God pours out his extravagant blessing in the form of a feasting table. And there, with his head anointed with oil and having wine poured into his cup until it runs over, the psalmist and all of God's people enjoy the bounty, the prosperity, the enlargement and rest associated with peace, even in the midst of war, even in the midst of coronavirus. The psalmist concludes his epic song, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, in the original Hebrew, follow is more than just follow. It actually means pursue. So goodness and mercy pursue the sheep. God is coming after the sheep. The bad news is that the sheep has enemies, but the good news is that God has our back. Normally in other psalms, the enemies are pursuing the psalmist, but here the enemies are present, but they have been rendered harmless because the shepherd is present. So I want you now to imagine a sandwich with the shepherd out in front, with you as the sheep behind, and with goodness and mercy as the sheepdogs following on behind you. Goodness, wherever we go at life, whatever we do, whatever happens, where we are in this sandwich means that we dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We are forever with God in God's presence, no matter the good days and the bad days, the times of fasting, the times of feasting. Goodness supplies our needs, mercy blots out our sins, and the Good Shepherd leads us on. So wherever we go, whatever we do, whatever may come against us, with the Good Shepherd before us and goodness and mercy behind us, we have peace and we have victory. And so as those who dwell in the house of the Lord forever, we are free to deal with life and not cave in. Our dependence on God makes us independent from this world. No matter what goes on around us and what comes against us, even coronavirus, we find our identity and our security in Him. We are sheep of the Good Shepherd. And with the Shepherd going before us as our provider, our protector, and our peace, and with goodness and mercy following us, God meets our dependency needs so that we can be mature and healthy in this world and be a sign of the new humanity redeemed by our Lord, invested here for His glory. I love the story of God taking Abraham out of the tent and getting him to look up in the sky and saying to him, your descendants will be like the stars in the sky. That doesn't only mean that the descendants of Abraham, which includes us, is innumerable. It also means that against the world's darkness, the stars shine brightly. We shine brightly as descendants of Abraham, as God's people. So, as we suspend our worship service today, and until we meet again, shine your light. Remember where you are placed between the shepherd and between goodness and mercy as you go. The world is in panic, pandemonium, and fear. But let us show the world that we take our lead not from it, or not from the media, but rather from our Good Shepherd, who is our protector, our provider, and our peace. Amen. So, Lord, as we go this day, indeed remind us always of the secure place we are in as sheep of the Good Shepherd, with you as our shepherd out in front, and goodness and mercy following us. Lord, let us, as we go this day, place our feet in your footsteps. Let us, as our Good Shepherd, keep our eyes firmly fixed on your back so that we might follow you rightly through this threat that is facing the world. And Lord, then when we come back again to this place to worship you, lift our hearts in praise and thanks and adoration. In your precious name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.